out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 20th of May 2019 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, this bending over backwards to appease the Muslims seems to be continuing apace. All last week we've had an inquiry into the Islamic terror attack on London Bridge last year, where various people were stabbed, various people were run over. A beautiful Australian girl was stabbed to death. Mark Cullett has done quite a good job of highlighting that attack. Well, last week they've been having an inquiry all week about this. Islam hasn't been mentioned once, of course. They just keep calling these people the attackers. Nothing about the ideology that encouraged them to do this. And one particular part of it really caught my notice. Apparently, there was a woman, a nurse, I believe, and she was trying to help somebody that had been stabbed by one of these Muslims. And she said, "What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?" to this Muslim. And he apparently turned around to her and said, "No, what is wrong with you?" and then stabbed this woman. Of course, they didn't pick up on this. They didn't think, well, hang on a minute, has this guy got a point? And he does have a point. I mean, these Muslims can see that we are appeasing them. We are covering up their crimes. We are doing nothing to stop them carry out terrorist attacks. We're doing nothing to stop them coming into the country. And we're bending over backwards to appease them. They think that what they are doing is blessed by Allah, because that's how it looks to them. It looks to them as if Allah has stopped the white race from preventing them from doing anything they like. They think they can rape with impunity, mug people with impunity, sell drugs with impunity. Over the weekend, it's quite clear that they can just get a police escort to a political rally, armed and masked up, and then attack the rally, and the police will just stand back and do nothing. I mean, the other week when this Muslim threw a milkshake at Tommy Robinson, afterwards he was in the car and he was saying, "It's all blessed, it's all blessed." And what he means by that is everything that they are doing to attack us, it appears to them that it's blessed by God, because all our establishment are doing is covering up for it. Covering up for it. They think that they have the right to do all that they are doing, and they think that they are being blessed in doing it because nobody is doing anything about putting a stop to it. And that's what this Muslim meant when he said, "No, what's wrong with you?" to this white nurse before he stabbed her. And the latest instance of this is in a church. A church has raised eyebrows after offering to cover up a cross and allow Muslims to say prayers in its building during Ramadan. So they're going to cover up the Christian cross and allow Muslims to pray to Satan within the church. Because that's who we are told Allah is. We're told Allah is a devil. These are devil worshippers. So they're encouraging the Muslims that hate the Christians, that want to behead the unbelievers, and at the very best, just extort money out of us in jizya tax. And these clowns at this church are literally inviting them into the church. All across the world, there are churches being attacked by Muslims, and this church decides to invite them in and bend over backwards to appease them. As part of the plans, men who attend a nearby mosque were reportedly invited to use the aisle of the parish church in Darlington as a place of prayer. And of course, it would just be men because they are separated by gender, which of course goes against all the so-called equality laws that we have in Britain. But of course, they only apply to white people, don't apply to Muslims. They're above the law. Muslim women were also offered space in an adjoining room of St. Matthew and St. Luke's Church, it is claimed. The proposals are said to have been discussed in a meeting on May the 9th and attended by the Reverend Lissa Scott. So obviously that's whose idea this was. A female calling herself a reverend. A female who's been made into a priest by the Church of England, directly against what it says in the Bible, that women should not be leading churches. Women should not be teaching. The place for women in the Bible is in the home raising the children. Certainly not leading churches. And don't forget, in the pagan times, it was priestesses that were responsible for the oracles, and they would have the hieroguli, that was basically just whores. It was just sex magic, and it would be led by the priestesses, which is why it's not right to have a female priest, because that's what the opposite of Christianity did. They had female priests, and of course, then you've got people attracted to the female priest, which is going to distract them from listening and learning. Plus, the woman is obviously more swayed by emotion than logic, and they're going to do daft things like this and suggest that they just allow the church to be taken over by Muslims. It is also claimed members were told that a devotional image of Jesus, a copy of The Light of the World by the pre-Raphaelite artist William Holman Hunt, would be covered up, reports the Sunday Times. Can you imagine a mosque inviting Christians in and covering up parts of the mosque and covering up the Quran so they didn't offend the Christians? Muslims would never do anything at all to appease Christians. They won't even do anything at all to appease different sects of Muslims. We had a five-year-old Shiite kid was beheaded in front of his mother by Saudis in Saudi Arabia recently for being a Shiite Muslim. There are no churches in Saudi Arabia. And yet this church here seems to think that we should be covering up everything Christian and inviting the Muslims in. The newspaper reported that minutes from the meeting read, one aisle in church to be cleared of chairs for Muslim men to say prayers. So clear the aisle of chairs so that Muslims can bow down to a false god in there. Cover Christian crosses and photographs in small rooms for ladies to say prayers. The Diocese of Durham has since intervened in the fiasco and told the church it must not hold Islamic prayers in the church building. Well, that's good. It stated that church law does not permit acts of worship by non-Christians in a Church of England building. Well, why didn't they just point out that if you're a Christian, you are against other religions? If you are a Christian, then you need to be against this. The Bible tells us to be against this. Look, let's have a look at what the Bible says, shall we? Luke 19:27. But those mine enemies, who would not that I should reign over them, bring them hither and slay them before me. I mean, that is obviously meant to be understood figuratively, but it certainly doesn't mean that you should be encouraging those who would not have Christ reigning over them and invite them in to pray to their devil god in your building. And then we've got Galatians 1:8, and this is St. Paul speaking, and he says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And there are two things in that. It talks about an angel from heaven bringing a different gospel. And of course, Muhammad claims that it was the angel Gabriel that gave him the Quran, which is a different gospel. And of course, these church clowns that pretend that they're churchmen, they will call blessings upon Muhammad. They will call for peace to be upon him. And what it says here is we should be calling for curses to be upon him. That's what St. Paul says. Let him be accursed. If anyone preaches a different gospel to you from angels that have told him it, then let him be accursed. The Christian Episcopal Church bishop, Gavin Ashenden, a former chaplain to the Queen, is among those to slam the plans. He said, when Muslims come into our church, we invite them to come in and respect Jesus. If we accepted an invitation to go into a mosque, we would respect Muhammad. Well, that's a pretty lightweight criticism there. I would suggest that he could be much stronger than that. And when have Muslims ever invited Christians into a mosque? Speaking of the diocese's decision to get involved, he told the Premier, they realised that the vicar made a silly mistake. But I'm glad it happened because it raises in the public eye some important issues which people need to work through. Islam and Christianity are not Abrahamic cousins in Middle Eastern religion. They are actually antithetical to each other. And that's fantastic that he said that. I've been saying this for so long, that this idea that there is this Abrahamic faiths, that Islam and Judaism actually have anything whatsoever to do with Christianity, is false. It's just a phrase that's come about in the last 50 years to try and encourage a one world religion between the three of them. If there is only one truth, and Christ says that he is the way, the truth, and the light, then if you are a Christian, then you can only see Christianity as being the truth. And Islam and Judaism are false religions by mongrel people that claim a heritage that they don't actually have because they're mongrels, because they're mixed race. So how can they claim to be the legitimate descendants of Abraham when they're mixed race? Plus, the Bible tells us that all these promises from Abraham, they only went through Isaac. They only went through Isaac. And Esau was cursed. Esau was cursed as much as Jacob Israel was blessed. And of course, that's who the Jews trace their heritage back to, is Esau Edom and his Canaanite wives. It is understood that the event will go ahead, but prayers will be said elsewhere. In a statement to Premier, a spokesperson for the Diocese of Durham said, while it is vital to build good interfaith relations, it is clear that an act of worship from a non-Christian faith tradition is not permitted within a consecrated Church of England building. Now, I'm sure this has gone on before. I'm sure they've had these Muslims in churches before. I've heard about it in Germany, where they were covering up crosses so that they could put up Muslim refugees in church buildings. So this is good that this is being highlighted. And it's actually been highlighted in The Mirror as well, which is a extreme radical left-wing news organisation. So I am surprised that they're covering this. He says, this is a legal position outlined in Canons B1, 2 and 3 and B5, Section 3, where it states, all forms of service used under this canon shall be reverent and seemly, and shall be neither contrary to nor indicative of any departure from the doctrine of the Church of England in any essential matter. And of course, don't forget, this is somebody that claims to be a priest that was making this decision. One of these female priests that is supposed to be learned in these matters. There seems initially to have been some misunderstanding locally of this, but that has been resolved now, with plans for Muslim prayers to be held in a nearby building, then the whole community coming together for a celebratory meal inside the church. St. Matthew's and St. Luke's Church has been contacted for a comment. Well, they probably haven't been. They just have to put that there legally. So it's good that this has been pointed out. It hasn't been allowed to go ahead. And I'm very pleased that it's been highlighted that there's no such thing as Abrahamic faiths. There is only one faith that comes down through Abraham, and that is Christianity. Islam and Judaism are false religions. As Jesus told us, the Jews are the master of lies. They are following the master of lies. They're following the devil. They are the devil, is what Jesus told us. And of course, the Arabs are just mixed race pretenders that got their religion from the Talmud anyway. Muhammad's mother was Jewish, so Muhammad was a Jew by birth. Anyway, next story that I've got for us today concerns political correctness and a doctor being banned from practicing. A doctor under investigation for asking a Muslim woman to remove her veil said yesterday that he has been inundated with messages of support. Dr. Keith Wolverston, 52, said supporters have started a petition calling for him to be exonerated. He said he is unable to find work and is planning to quit medicine and retrain as a cosmetic practitioner. So why is all this happening? Well, Dr. Wolverson said that the woman did not object when he politely asked her to remove the face covering because he was struggling to understand what she was saying about her sick daughter. So he just asked her to remove this face covering of hers. But her husband later made a complaint, and last week the locum GP was shocked to receive a letter from doctors' regulator, the General Medical Council. It said that he was being investigated over allegations of racial discrimination, which could result in him being struck off. I mean, how is that racial discrimination to say to somebody, could you just remove your veil so that I can actually hear what you are saying? Since the incident at a walk-in centre at Royal Stoke University last June, Dr. Wolverson has been unable to work there, and he now plans to walk away from medicine despite an unblemished 23 years in general practice. Do they think that this doctor wouldn't have said that if it had been somebody white that was underneath one of these veils and he couldn't understand what they were saying? How can they say that this is racial discrimination? This is just sensible. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous that we have these people here that we can't understand the language that they're using, and it just makes it even more difficult if they've got their faces covered up. Incidentally, on Friday, when I did the podcast with Grandpa Lampshade about facial recognition technology, and we were saying, well, what about when you've got Muslims there in the veil? And I said, well, it would be against their human rights for the police to ask them to take their veil off. This question was actually asked over the weekend on the BBC. And the police said, well, the facial recognition camera, it works by measuring the distance between the various facial features. So in the case of a Muslim woman wearing a veil, they would just measure between the eyes because that's all the information that they could get. Nobody pointed out that, hang on a minute, that's not a bit fair, because with white people, you can measure their gait, you can measure the distance between their nose and their eyes, you can measure the size of their chin, you can work out all the different proportions. They didn't mention that to the police, of course. They said, oh, yes, that's absolutely fine, yes. We'll just measure the eyes on these Muslim women that wear the veil. But back to this, Dr. Wolverson told how the Muslim woman brought her daughter, aged 10 or 11, to see him, fearing that she had tonsillitis. But he struggled to hear the mother's account of the girl's health problems because her speech was being obscured by her niqab, which covered her face apart from the eyes. He said the mother complied with his request to remove her veil without raising any objections. But shortly afterwards, her husband arrived and declared that he was making a complaint about the GP's behaviour. According to the complaint against him, the woman is said to have told Dr. Wolverson she did not want to remove the veil on religious grounds, but he refused to continue the consultation until she did so. He denies this. And of course, this is what this female Muslim has done. She's got into trouble with her husband for removing the veil. So she's gone and lied about the doctor to try and blame him for it. And of course, the Muslims are always right. So the General Medical Council, instead of standing up for their white doctor, have banned him from practicing and told him that he can't practice whilst this is being investigated. He says, unfortunately, I'm not able to work at the moment as I'm a locum GP, and no one will employ you while you're under investigation by the GMC. I feel I have been left with no alternative but to look at doing something else. I have received a lot of messages of support since announcing my decision, which is a comfort. People have been almost unequivocal in backing me. An online petition was started yesterday calling for Dr. Wolverson not to be fired and for the GMC to treat this man fairly and look at all the evidence. But of course, this is just the thing with these hate crimes, isn't it? If a protected minority claims that they feel victimized, they feel as if a hate crime has taken place, they have to be believed. And it doesn't matter what the white man says, because the protected minority has got hurt feelings. So that means a hate crime must have taken place. And they will use the excuse of who are we to decide what is a hate crime when the victim says they've had their feelings hurt. You know, this is what exposes this ridiculousness of making it a crime to hurt people's feelings and allowing victims or so-called victims to be the judges of whether or not they have actually, the crime has actually occurred. I mean, they're basically judge, jury and executioner, just like Judge Dredd, these minorities are now. I don't understand how anyone accused of a hate crime can actually have an ethnic minority or a Jew as a judge or a homosexual as a judge, because they are the very people that the person in the dock is accused of carrying out the crime against. And you're not allowed to, or you're not supposed to be allowed to judge in your own cases. So good luck to Dr. Wolverson here. It's good to hear that lots of people have come out to support him, and there's an online petition there for him as well. We've got some news just in as I'm recording this. Nigel Farage has been hit by a milkshake today. Of course, it's just open season on all politicians to the right of the Conservative Party now that people have got away with it, doing it to Tommy Robinson. It seems that they think that it's okay to do it to whoever they like. And we'll be talking about the attacks on Tommy Robinson over the weekend in Aryan Britannia, where he actually had bricks and rocks, and there was a whole riot that actually took place in Oldham. But also in Paris yesterday, we had a bit of an incident at the Charles de Gaulle Airport. And this took place yesterday during the day. Between 300 and 500 self-identified illegal immigrants, they were all black Africans, stormed an airport terminal and occupied it for about 3 hours, preventing access to flights, to demand that they be given papers to remain in France, demanding that they be given citizenship. These are people that have broken into the country, got no right to be there, should have been deported, and instead they're able to get into a terminal and stop all the legitimate French citizens from getting on their flights to go about their business or to go on holiday or whatever else it was doing. They were all held up for 3 hours by these savages who shouldn't even be there, who somehow think that they have the right to speak to the French Prime Minister. Both the New York Post and the blog Heavy.com reported that the protesting illegal immigrants said they would not leave or allow access to the terminal until they were allowed to speak with French Prime Minister Edouard Philippe. "France does not belong to the French. Everyone has a right to be here," shouts one occupier. And where they get that logic from, I don't know. Do they think Africa belongs to everyone? Do they think all white people have a right to just move into Africa and take it over? Of course they don't. They've made a huge fuss about South Africa, regardless of the fact that whites built the whole civilization there. Blacks have never had a civilization. They just ruin civilizations, and they're in the process of destroying France at the moment. And this is just going to get worse. If white people don't do something about this and point out how ludicrous and offensive this kind of behaviour against us is, they are just going to think that they are blessed. God has blessed them. God has allowed this. And they can just continue to do whatever they like. Raping, murdering, terrorising, blocking up airports, mugging, selling drugs. It's all covered up. It's all covered up by the liberal establishment media, who don't want to give propaganda to the so-called far right by reporting on it. And when these people get sent to court, you end up with the judges just letting them off, because otherwise we've got a disproportionate amount of blacks in prison. France is going to be no different to any other multicultural country. Blacks are going to be 5 or 6 times overrepresented in the prisons, because they're 5 or 6 times more likely to carry out crimes. And they see all of this. They see all of this going on, and they just take whatever they can. They think that they have the right to demand to speak to a prime minister of a country that they've broken into. They don't have any rights. They don't have any rights at all. They should just be sent back to Africa. Reports on social media said that the immigrants were carrying out a peaceful protest. How is it a peaceful protest when you're preventing all the white people from getting on their flights for 3 hours? That's not peaceful. That's going to be really, really irritating to these white folks. Imagine you've got families there, you've got kids, and you're taking them away on holiday, and there's just this mob of Negroes there preventing it from happening that shouldn't even be in the country, let alone be in the airport. They were demanding to speak with Prime Minister Edouard Philippe. The protesters said that they wanted to draw attention to the plight of undocumented immigrants in the country, and said they would not let anyone board their flight unless their demands were met. And that's pretty much saying, well, we're going to have a protest because we want to draw attention to the plight of burglars in people's houses when they get caught in the middle of burgling it. We want to draw attention to the plight of people that break into people's houses because they're not being treated very nicely by the owners of the house when they catch them. French riot police quickly arrived on the scene and fired tear gas at the protesters. Well done, French riot police. They actually fired tear gas at the right people for once. French media reported that the group of protesters, who were calling themselves the Black Jackets, were all of African origin. The group issued a manifesto entitled "The Black Jackets Are Seeking the Prime Minister." The manifesto demanded better conditions for undocumented immigrants, illegal immigrants, in other words, who are held in Charles de Gaulle Airport. I mean, just how bad can these conditions be when they're being looked after by the French in a modern airport in a modern first world country? However they are being looked after, is going to be 100 times better than if they were in a prison in Africa, 100 times better than if they were in the middle of a capital city in Africa. I mean, if they were living in Lagos, for instance, they would be at risk of being eaten by the inhabitants. They certainly wouldn't be having their food provided for them. They wouldn't be having a roof over their heads provided for them. They wouldn't have legal help provided for them. And yet somehow they think that they have a right to have all of this in somebody else's country. It also criticised the conditions under which the airline Air France expels would-be immigrants. The group dubbed Air France the official deporter of the French state. Well, what's wrong with that? People that break into the country should be deported. They should be deported forthwith, straight away, as soon as they're found. They shouldn't be put up and fed and watered and looked after and mollycoddled and given legal rights. They should just be clapped in chains and sent back on the next flight, or preferably sent back on the next boat. Just send boats back over to Africa with them, boatloads of them, so that they don't hold up the airplanes, so that they don't stand any chance of interacting with white people on a plane, idiot whites that stop the plane and say, oh, please stop the plane, we can't possibly let this poor black man go back to Africa. And then they find out that this poor black man was actually a gang rapist, as recently happened in Britain. Eventually, representatives of Air France met with 4 members of the Black Jackets late on Sunday afternoon. What on earth did they do that for? What on earth did they meet with these criminals for? Why didn't they just gas them all, tie them all up with cable ties and send them back? They don't deserve to be met with. They don't deserve to be talked to. People probably can't even speak French. it wasn't immediately clear what they discussed or what the outcome was. The Black Jackets also said that they wanted legal immigration status for themselves. So they're basically just trying to extort citizenship by doing this. They're basically trying to blackmail the French government into giving them legal citizenship status by threatening to shut down the airport. So they're basically just black criminals. Protesters said they wanted to speak with Air France management. They also vowed to remain in Terminal 2, blocking people from boarding their flights until their demands had been met, including their demand to speak with the French Prime Minister. Well, they didn't get a chance to speak to the French Prime Minister, and eventually the French police went in and tear gassed them all. And it serves them right, and I hope the people weren't too late. I hope it didn't mess up their holidays too much getting on those airplanes. Okay, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless, and hail victory.
You're tuned